Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could stab me in the eye with your dick and go, now you got 20/20 vision. And I go, that wasn't 20 inches. And he goes, shut up. Anyway, my... My guest today is a multiple award-winning comedian from Canada. You've seen her on Much's Video on Trial, Match Game, and Last One Laughing Canada. And one of my favorite stand-ups ever. We once did a show where, I don't think I've ever done this with anybody, but I was like, you gotta tell that joke of with the nail polish? And she was like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, hey, I think I'd really be happy if you told that joke. And then she did it for me. She's a jukebox. She's perfect. It's Deborah DiGiovanni. Woo!
Hello. Hi.
Hi, 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 hi.
Hi, hi. Hi. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for being here. I think about that joke a lot. It's one of my favorites. Yay! And it's so funny.
I think about your Liberty Bell joke a lot.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. It's perfect. It's literally perfect.
How are you? How have you been?
I'm all right. It's been, I still feel like I haven't seen people for like 3 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm still on that there's still a lot of people that I haven't seen in so long. It feels so strange, you know? It feels like no time has passed, and yet it also feels like three years have passed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and a lot of us are doing the same things. And then I just found out, like, a couple people that I know have moved to different states and are no longer, like, acting or doing comedy. And I was like, what?
That's weird.
You're a therapist now? You're a social worker?
I truly believe that we need some sort of, I don't know, like some sort of updated little, like, I don't know if it's a spreadsheet of some sort where everyone is and if they've broken up with their partner. I'm very concerned about that. Like when I see someone who I know was like, oh, pictures. And then all of a sudden they're not, I'm just like, is everything okay?
Yeah, what's going on? Do you want to tell me?
Right. I was very concerned about Joel Kim Booster for a while. I think they're still together. Yes. But for a moment, I panicked. But I think we're okay. Mm-hmm. I need to know. And I need to know, did you move? Like, I think a lot of people have moved to New York. Don't you feel like that? I feel like a lot of our LA people.
A lot of people did go to New York. Yeah. Yeah, a ton of people. Well. Wait, Deborah, let me ask you a question. So you have a series on Instagram, a hashtag, if you will, called hashtag Fake Boyfriend Friday.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think it was just one of those things that, you know, you, when you're single for so long, you start to do this little whatever. Oh, fake boyfriends, my boyfriend. And then it was just like, it was an Instagram thing that just happened. And I think I just, a little throwaway, like, oh, talked about someone as if he was my boyfriend. And just, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, that's so funny. And then, you know, I've always been a little boy crazy. So then it was just like finding pictures of cute guys and then like online and just like making up stories about them. And then I just started to call it Fake Boyfriend Friday and people really liked it. And you know, the thing is, it was so silly because everyone would, you know, a lot of people would ask, do they ever contact you? And yes, I had like, yeah, I had several. I'm going to say like, maybe like five or six of the dudes would literally write me and go, that was fun. Thanks so much. And everyone is always super cool about it. I had one guy from Germany, like some German model wrote me and he was like, I don't know what this is, but I think it's fun. And I was like, great, good.
I love that. Maybe I start doing that. And when they contact me, I'll be like, so do you want to become real boyfriend every day?
This is exactly it. We're not, you know, I mean, whatever gets it going. Do you know what I mean? Whatever starts it. Whatever starts the conversation. So, and I've stopped it. I've kind of stopped it lately. And this is so silly. I had, unbeknownst to me, I did not know. I don't do a lot of research into the men that I'm choosing.
Sure.
Cute guy, found it. Apparently, he's dead. And
how am
I supposed to? I'm sorry. It was just a cute guy. Apparently, he was like a semi-pro skateboarder.
My type.
And people wrote me and they're like, you're disgusting. And I was like, I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
And also, like, how is it disgusting that I'm just saying a man is attractive? He's dead. And I was like, so once you're gone, your hotness, I don't know.
I literally have in my will that I have put the phone numbers of some gentlemen who have fucked me, and I have made it my best friend's. I was like, this is something you have to do. Sorry about it. There's a lot of things you got to do for this funeral, but you have to contact these men that I've put in my will to come to my funeral and specifically talk about how hot and how good my pussy was.
I love this plan. This is a contingency plan of some sort.
Like when I'm dead, I want people to be like, boy, she was funny. Them little titties were nice. And she was hot as fuck.
That's exactly it. Like, let me leave on some really good press. You know what I mean? Like, really, really good press. I love
just
that.
Just real good.
I love that plan. I think that's great. And
thank
I, you know
you.
What? And I think, like, don't you want to be known as hot after you
yes.
pass? I mean, I just anyone would be like, she was a solid six. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean?
Like, she was fine. She was like, whatever.
She was a nice girl. No.
How did you meet your partner, your current partner?
Well, let me tell you. This is...
Because you imported.
Yes. Now, this is... I want to say this, and it might seem very whatever, but I'm going to tell the people in the world, especially if you live in Los Angeles.
I do.
Leave LA to meet a man. I really feel like, I don't know if it's just, the man is European. He's Italian born. He lives in London. He's actually with me right now. He's going to be visiting for like 4 months or whatever. He's going to be here until April. So he's out doing something. He's out doing something right now. He's walking around doing something cute. But how it was, okay, so this is a story quickly. A friend of mine, Sophie Hagen, comic from, she lives in London as well. He went to her comedy show, to their comedy show, liked them, started following them on social media. And she and I think I'm allowed to call her she. She's a they, but I think she's okay with she. We're just pals on Twitter and Instagram and whatever. One day she just gave me a little shout out, you know, Deputy Giovanni. And it's like, oh, started following me, watching all the things, listened to the podcast. And I think it was about a year and a half, he said. And then the pandemic started. He got all ballsy and literally just wrote me on Instagram. And it was just like, I just want to tell you, I know the pen, we don't know what's going on in the world. So I thought I'd shoot my shot and just tell you, I think you're fabulous and gorgeous. And if you want to talk sometime, I was like, what? And then, you know, we'd have these, we all get the weirdos, but then it was just like, let's just check out his, and then I was like, hello. So I just wrote him back and he just happened to be, you know, very attractive to me. And yeah. And like, literally we started talking in May 2020, and it's been happening ever since. And I went to London in October of 2020 to meet him for the first time.
October of 2020, pandemic, be damned.
Exactly.
You said, let me get it in. I don't care. We may die tomorrow.
That's exactly. And I was like, I'm going the minute I'm free to fly. Bye. And this was all like therapist approved. Like therapist was like, go for it. Go meet him. And yeah. And then it was just great. And so it's been since then. It's weird.
I love that. That I know. Is so,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's such a 2020 like romance, a DM.
Oh, exactly.
And then like you fly there. Oh.
But you know what I want to say too? Like, I don't know if you have any experience in this, in the terms of relationships. I feel like most of the time when like most of my girlfriends and my sisters that are in successful relationships did this, like had the terrible, like where we all go through terrible periods of dating. You're like, I hate everyone. And you just stop. Mm-hmm. That's when they meet someone. Like my twin sister saying to me, I'm never dating again. I'm like, fine. What? And then 9 months later, met her husband. My older sister, I'm never dating again. 6 months later, met her husband. I mean, it's, I don't know. And I had sworn off. I had sworn off everything. I also made a list too, by the way. I did this as well. He claims that I conjured him because I did a little witchy thing in 2019.
What is this witchy thing?
In 2019, after trying, you know, on the apps and hooking up with dudes and it all being depressing and awful. You know, I did that. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. I've had enough. And I mean, I only, you know, 2 years and I was like, I'm done. And then a friend of mine, I know, very impatient. A friend of mine was like, you know, you need to get serious and write down what you want. And I was like, what's that? She's like, make like a grocery list of what you're looking for in a partner. And she's like, get explicit, like talk about the dick, like talk about everything. And I was like, okay. So it was on September 21st, 2019, I made this list of my man. And I'm telling you, Nicole, I'm not joking. He's alarmingly similar to what I was looking for. Because then I put it away and I didn't think about it again. And then like after I met him and then like was going through old notebooks of whatever and read it, it was like, oh my, like literally I was like, you know, European would be cool. And I was like, if he was a little bit younger than me, that'd be great. I said like maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years. Cause I'm very immature. He's literally 12 years younger than me. I love fucked up teeth. I love weird teeth. I do. I have a thing for like a snaggle tooth or a diastema or something. I just do. And he's got these teeth. He looks like a wolf sometimes. Yeah. Friendly wolf. Like his teeth don't close.
Friendly wolf.
I swear to God. And it's just all of these things. Like, it's like, and I even was like, I'd love it if he wasn't straight. Do you mean honestly? Mm-hmm. Because straight men don't like me. I don't like them, to be honest. And you know, he's fully bisexual. He was in a relationship with a man before me. And I got to tell you, I don't know if that's a secret for me, but like, it's different because I like him. I like him as a human being. And I don't think I ever liked any of my other relationships. I love them. I love him. But do you like him? And I like this person. I like him. He's my friend. We laugh so much. He makes me laugh. And I didn't know that was going to be possible. I didn't even know I wanted that. Like, I was like, I don't need funny. And now I was like, oh, yeah, this is, yeah. So I'm very, this is, I just, yeah.
I know. I know. Deborah, my God.
Yeah.
Honestly, sometimes I think this is why I do the podcast, because hearing somebody who's like deeply in love and like happy and giddy about it. Mm-hmm. And it's been almost 3 years and you're still like so happy.
But I'll tell you this though, too. Before, pre-Filippo, that's his name, I was single and celibate for like 18 years. Good gasp. The 18 years. Like I was just like, I started comedy and I had a terrible boyfriend at the time, broke up with him. And I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to focus on comedy. And then it was one of those things that you look up and you go, oh shit, have like 12 years passed. And then it just, so like, yeah.
Wow. I have another friend who had been celibate for years and years and years. And she just broke her seal for the first time, and she's like, and it feels good. Yeah. She's like real excited about it. But 18 years, during these 18 years, I don't want to be rude about it because
it happened
absolutely. And it's fine.
Yeah.
And I don't want to shame it. But like, were there times you got so horny you would cry?
Yes.
Okay.
Literally, literally. And then
I think 2 years is the longest.
It is like it changes you. It changes you as a person. Like it almost like there is really like sort of a slight insanity that you sometimes feel that you like. Mm-hmm. I can't like you would almost get to the point where you're like something I can't fix this. And that's what it was. I think it was like deep loneliness and like horniness mm-hmm. that requires another person. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's like, yes, everyone masturbates. You can jerk off as much as you want. But there's a point where you go, I need another person in the room. Like it was even like, oh my God, I'm sorry. But it's like I remember like a Sex in the City moment. Like one time where, I'm sorry, gross. But like, I remember
Sex in the City is... People will shit on it,
yeah.
But it changed television. It was groundbreaking and it holds up.
Absolutely. So you can do whatever you want about it now. But at the time, it was huge. And I remember there's an episode where Carrie is just like, I just want a man to lie on top of me. Mm-hmm. And you get to that point where it's just like nothing else will suffice. You're like, it has to be whatever you're into. Like you just need another human. So there was, and I also felt like there were a lot of times too crying, but there was a lot of times where it was like, I need to fuck or fight. Do you know what I mean? Like, what if I gotta punch somebody?
Gotta hit somebody or have someone punch my pussy.
Well, that's what they call it in Australia, right? A punch in the undies is what they call a fuck in Australia.
That's funny.
So it's like, yes, hook me up with that. But anyway,
I need a punch in the undies.
A
couple months ago, I was masturbating, and like right before I came, I started crying because I was like, why can't I do this with someone? And then I started laughing because I was like, you're crying literally with a Hitachi magic wand on you.
That's what I have to. That's I was just gonna ask you, what are you using right now? And I love that
a
thing.
Hitachi magic wand and a G-spot vibrator at the same time. But you start off with the magic wand and was sobbing and then laughing.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, the birds who chill on my windowsill must be like,
what the
I don't think she's doing okay. I think she's doing bad.
We need to call somebody now. This is it. This is our moment. But yeah, we've all been, because it's not natural. Like, and we know that. And this is like, you know, we have our incels and whatever. It's like, Jesus, just let's just regulate sex work and fix everything. Do you know what I mean? Because
I mean,
it's not good. Nice. It's not natural. It is not natural. You do need to be with other people. You just have to.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're like, you know, asexual and not into it.
And that's
good. But a lot of asexual people crave like emotional intimacy that comes from a person.
Yes.
Whatever. There's a spectrum. But I'm like, it would be lovely on this day that I could just like bebop, boobop, postmate somebody come to my house, have a nice time, there's a paper trail, and, you know, have a nice time, and you go about your business.
You can write it off on your taxes, write it off. We're good to go.
You know, give a generous tip, you know? Thank you so much. He comes in that little cart with the eyes, pops out.
Can you imagine if he was in the robot thing? That would be amazing. Oh, my God. That would be amazing. Ooh.
Maybe that's a good idea.
These are on Nicole's ideas. We have proof of this, so don't try to steal it. All right, thank you.
Can I ask, being in a long distance relationship for almost 3 years, is that hard?
Very, very, very. It is, you know, like there are times where you think like I remember thinking like, this is going to be perfect. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need a lot is what my brain says. I don't need to see him like every day. I'm fine. And it is for a while. And then it's not, you know, it's like, it's really gotten to that point now. I think that's where we were right before he came here, because it's like, okay, so I went to London in 2020. He came to LA in 2021. And then, so, and it was here until 2022. Like, it's, we've gone like 10 months. It's usually about 10 months, 10 months, not like three
a
months,
long time.
10 months. And it is. And it gets to the point where it's like, again, it just nothing fixes it. Like, you're FaceTiming, come on. And the whole people are like, so do you like, you guys jerk off over FaceTime? Not anymore. Because you get to the point where it's just like, it's just not the same anymore. And it's like, this doesn't work anymore. We want to just be in the same room together. So after a while, it really just gets like, this isn't funny anymore. Like, we need to just see each other. So it is hard. And especially it's like, it's not like he lives in Chicago. Like, it's an 8-hour time difference. You know what I mean? It's a whole thing. So it's very far, but it's, you know, I can't complain. He's here. So right now I'm okay. You know what I mean? We're okay for now.
Has the topic of like moving to.
Yeah. Now I think sometimes I do, because, you know, again, I am Canadian. And so I did the big move to LA, which was huge. Mm-hmm. You know, I know everyone does it. Where are you from originally?
Originally I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, so of course, we all do the big move, right? We do all do the big move. But now I think, you know, I mean, I moved to LA as an older woman. And so that was hard. And so now if I'm going to London, I just think, do I have it in me to start again? But I think maybe the only place that I could start over again is London, because God bless them. They don't care as much as North America does about age and weight. And I mean, London has a tendency to just like, we like you, you're allowed to have a career. And you're like, oh, so there is that chance. You're allowed to be old and weird in London. But yeah, so I don't know, but it'd be a big move. You know what I mean? I would love it if we could do both, you know, and if we could do both, but yeah, yes, that would be ideal. You know what I mean? Winter's here, summer's there, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could get like what, a visa, like a travel visa for like 6 months?
Yeah, you can. I can actually do, because my mother was British.
Ooh.
Yeah, I can do, I can do an ancestral visa. My grandparents on her side are from the Isle of Wight.
Wow. They said, we'll let them know.
Yeah. Yes.
When you come here, we wait.
Exactly. I love how just completely, like, they don't even try to pretend. It's the Isle of Wight. So that's all there is to it.
So funny.
So I could. So that might be, that's in the works as well. So.
Ooh, wait. I'm like so excited for you because I don't, how old are you?
I'm 51.
51. A new beginning at 51, I feel like, is in like a Nancy Myers movie. You know?
Like, God, I know.
Oh my God, I'm 51 and I'm starting over. 51's not old.
It's not old.
It's like, it's a great age to start over.
Yeah, no, not making decisions right now, but
you're not
soon,
making any hopefully. Decisions
yeah,
right now.
Soon.
Okay.
Soon. Yeah. Not today.
Although, here's my dream for you. You spend half your time in England, half your time here. And while you're here, you're cast as like a wacky mom on a Nickelodeon or Disney show with like a chubby daughter who's like trying to navigate how she fits in the world, because she's also a little wacky.
Oh my
too.
God, I love this plan. I love this plan.
Right?
Yes.
How do I get it made? Excuse me, Mr. Disney, Mrs. Nickelodeon. We need things.
Yes, please. See? Oh my gosh. But
okay.
Yeah, I'd love
real quick,
yeah,
we
go.
Gotta take a break.
Okay.
Season. Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. Ooh, ah! All being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. joindeleteme.com/date me. Bebop, boobop, we back. Okay, Deborah.
Yeah.
So how long did you talk before you went to England?
Okay, May, June, July, August, September. It was, 5 months. It was
okay.
This was like talking every day for like 2 hours FaceTiming.
Oh my word.
I know.
I love this. And then, okay, so for me, sometimes I feel like when I talk to someone on the app for too long, I start to like make them up to be something that they're not. But
yeah,
also I'm not FaceTiming, it's just a lot of texting. So like when you went, were you like, you are exactly as I thought you were? Or like,
well,
you're
see,
like,
here's the thing. This is exactly, because it's weird from going from texting every day to actually FaceTiming. So like the first FaceTime was, we were both like, you know, there's, you know, it's eye contact, you know, you gotta really. So it was probably, I think we texted for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And it was like, do you want to FaceTime? I was like, do we? And yeah, you know, the thing is, I think the first thing that I like saw him doing something, because remember, he knew me as a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd listened to me say everything. He'd watched me, and I'd never seen him do a thing. And also, his Instagram, he's not a performer. It's not about him. Like his Instagram, he's an artist. So his Instagram is his art. And I know, gross. And he's just, I know. It was on the list. And he's an artist. It's terrible. But anyway, I can't believe it. Be careful what you wish for. But he, so it was done. I had no, like, I couldn't snoop.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing to snoop.
Ah.
A couple pictures to snoop. So when I first, it's really, it makes it very real. Do you know what I mean? It makes it very real. And the first thing he had done was he sent me a little video message. And it was like, I remember like hearing his voice and like that kind of like, you get all freaked out. And then it was really very, you know, I think that was probably it. Once we FaceTimed and we realized how easy it was, it was just like, oh yeah, we're okay. Yeah. So
how wonderful. A truth bomb that my therapist dropped on me the other day was, I'm not responsible for anyone's happiness. I'm not even responsible for my own happiness, because what is happiness? I'm responsible for keeping myself content and making choices that please me.
Oh, lovely.
And it's like, and those in turn, you know, you could call them happiness, but like, why? I'm a content person.
You know what? I love that. That's, you know what? I'll say this and I'll tag this on, because my therapist, I think a lot of therapists think happy is bullshit. Like the term happy mm-hmm. is something that's been made up, like obesity. Yes. You know, it's all, these words are just made up to, I don't know what. But she had said that it was, what, let me get it right. It was, she said, life is a series of struggles with sections of calm. She's like, it's a series of struggles with moments of content, calm, and then a little more struggles, content, calm. And then, yeah, she's like, happy is bullshit. It's all struggle. Yeah. And then you have peace, joy, you know, all that kind of stuff. But pretending that you're going, let's be happy. Mm-hmm.
It's like a made up thing that we did.
Yeah,
it's like,
it's a made up thing.
Happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's my issue with like body positivity. Cause I'm like, okay, great. We could be positive or whatever. But also, I can also feel negative some days. Yes. I'm just like body neutrality.
Yeah, me too. And this like is what, acceptance. That's exactly. Oh my God, me too. That's all I'm going for is body neutrality. Because the minute positivity, that also feels a little phony and it feels a little like rah, rah, rah. But body neutrality, if anyone's listening does not know, I'd be shocked if you don't, if you're listening to Nicole and you don't know. But body neutrality is like, we all some days go, oh, I don't feel good in my body. And that's all people. So I think body positivity is telling you, you must feel good every day. And that's bullshit. That's not true. Yeah, just like you're not going to be happy every day. So it's just like acceptance, having like, hey, this is just a regular day. And you move on with it, you know, because body positivity, that's interesting. Have you ever, I might embarrass myself by this, but have you ever gotten flowers from a man? Like a delivered romantic flowers from a man. Me neither.
Not from a man that I was like romantically involved with.
Yeah.
Erin Jennings, who's on my show, constantly, if I'm sick, sends me flowers. If I like, for Emmys, he sent me flowers. Oh. Like he is one of like, he's such a kind friend.
Oh, yes.
And like
that,
I mean, not to like gush about that show, but it does come out in March. But those boys are so caring and so wonderful, and I feel like taking care of with them, and it's evolved to like more than just coworkers.
They're
like,
I love that.
I feel like family. Yeah. But he always sends me flowers.
See, I have a male friend too. My friend Darcy, Michael, a comedian, now a TikTok influencer, who I've known for years and years. And, you know, yes, he's a homosexual man, but still he's a flower sender. He's a flower sender. He's just for celebration, for sorrow, for what he just is. Like if there's going to be, are you home right now? I'm like, you're sending me flowers. Aren't you? You're saying, yeah.
And it's
but I've
nice.
Never gotten romantic. It's so nice. It's so nice.
Wait, you haven't told your current partner that you've never gotten flowers from a gentleman?
Nope. Never
you
have.
Should just say that and see what happens.
Just drop it. I was
listen,
gonna
I've
say,
never I've never gotten flowers.
Never,
and you know, maybe that would be a nice thing that happens. You know, you go on a walk, you bring back flowers.
One off. You know what I mean? You are staying in my apartment. Anyway.
I did get one singular flower from a person I was dating. And I almost cried because no one has someone who's romantically involved with me has never bought me flowers. And I was like, I kept it for so long. It was like three flowers, like three sunflowers.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. And I tried keeping them alive for so long.
Just like the love. Oh God. Ew. Oh, bless you.
Thank you. Just like the love.
Just like the love.
Okay. Here's a terrible question that I really want to know your experience. Do you call yourself plus size? What do you?
No, I'm embracing fat.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I always ask because I once called a friend fat and she was like, excuse me. And I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah.
And I like kind of squinted and was like, well, how do you identify? Because like, I mean, you must see what we all see.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's okay. It's okay to be
it
fat.
It is. That's exactly it. But I also think too, it's like, because I feel the same way, like, especially like if I'm talking about myself or just like, just in a descriptor, not in any way derogatory, just saying, oh, you know, saying something like, oh, it's because I'm fat. Mm-hmm. Like as in why I couldn't or something. And I see people recoil. Like they take a little bit they have that. And it's just like, no. It is just a descriptor word. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's tall. It's fat. You know, it's the same.
Yeah, it's
and I'm glad to do it because I always hated because for so long it was plus size, big, above average, I'm a big person. That is, you know what I mean? Like, I was expecting to be 24 feet tall and walking through the street. I'm a big, no, I'm just a fat person.
I'm
you
know, fat. Yeah.
And I feel like it's only been a couple years for me, to be honest, using the word fat.
Oh, yeah. I would say maybe 5 years or
so.
Where I was like, yeah, I'm fat. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like, I guess I'd be like plus size. I don't know. I guess I just didn't refer to myself as anything. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm Nicole and I'm Mel. But airplanes, not airplanes, airlines refer to us as persons of size.
Yes. Yes,
and I'm like, what? That persons of size?
I am actually in the process right now of setting myself up on one of two airlines in Canada where I can sign up and I get a note, literally get a note from my doctor. I'm literally doing this like as of yesterday, so I can be a person of size legitimately on this airline, and then I can book two seats if I want for nothing. For extra, known extra money.
Ooh, see, that's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. And I was like, oh, look at that. I mean, they make you jump through hoops and they make you, it's a lot of like admitting all of this. They're going to put it on. I'm like, at this point, I don't care. Because, you know, before I'd be like, I don't want that beside my name. I'm like, no, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Just
who
give me the extra seat.
Shit?
I swear to God, I'd rather be comfortable. And I don't care. I really don't anymore.
Don't fucking care. But it's also funny to me that person of size, the acronym is POS. And it's like, piece of shit. It's like, thanks, guys. Got the note.
If you think that's a mistake, you are wrong.
Thank you so much. Zoom, zoom, Delta. Also, I don't understand why the seatbelt buckles they differ in length. Some will fit and some do not. And then when you ask for a seatbelt extender, it is like a drug deal is happening.
I know. It's literally like you just tried to steal someone's baby. You know what I mean? You're like, can I get a seatbelt? And may I have a seatbelt extender? They're always like, oh,
yes, don't worry about it. It's in the overhead.
It's like,
serve it, drink it. I will come back to you with it. I will tell
I'm going to say a code word and then I'm going to pass. You know what I mean? They camouflage it in a newspaper and they hand it to me. It's just the whole thing. But it's true. There are definitely some airlines that you're okay and some cheaper airlines you're not. Like, you're just,
no.
I'm sorry. I don't do JetBlue. I don't do Southwest because I know.
No.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm a Delta person. I mean, I know no one's perfect.
I'm also a Delta diva. As a fat woman.
Yeah.
Did you find it hard to date?
Yes. I found it hard to date, but I also found it. Okay. So the couple of years pre meeting my partner is, it was a lot of like, it felt very, what is the word? Like quirky, not quirky, like kinky, that sort of a fetishy type, you know? So it was really like, I knew that I was like, oh no one wants to get to know me at all. Cause there are definitely dudes, like everyone knows this, not a surprise. There are definitely dudes that are into big women, but they're into them for, you know, for a real sort of, to me, it's not flattering. I don't actually find it flattering. It feels like you're checking something off a list and I'm not interested. Like I had one dude that I had a feeder who wanted to feed me. I know. And he was super into it. And I got to tell you, like, he was hot. He was ripped and lean and like was a surfer. I'm like, serious. And he wanted, like, he had asked me if I would gain weight with him. Yeah. And I was like, look at dude, I can gain weight, no problem, but it's the taking it off again that I have trouble. But he was obsessed. Like he wanted that.
So I've never really encountered a feeder. Did he explain what the end goal would be?
Yeah, that's what, because I kind of did try to say, like, can you tell me why you want this? I think it was because, like, in the way because we never met in real life. We was all just texting.
Okay.
But yeah, and he had said, like, to him it was, I think it's because he might have been a bigger person when he, like, might have been a fat kid. You know, he might have been. And I think it was, like, that, because he was super, like, super fit now, but he was also very much about fitness. Like, he was super into it. You know, that was a lot of his posts and stuff. And I was like, okay. So I think there was that sort of thing. Like, he'd even said, I want to feed you, but I can also help you take it off again. And I was like, okay, I'm not looking for a trainer. I don't know what's going on here, but he really wanted to, like, it was, and I remember him saying, like, the specific things he wanted me to eat. So I was like, oh, this is about you.
Oh, you had to eat specific
Yeah.
things.
Like, this is about you. This isn't about me. You know what I mean? Like, it was like cake, and it was going to be like, also don't get me wrong. It sounded fun. Cake and pasta and stuff. And I was like, hello. But I think it was about him, to be honest. Like, it really was. Yeah. He just wanted experience that.
He gets, this is interesting. I guess he gets pleasure in feeding you and watching you get bigger.
Yes. Without having to do it himself.
Yeah. But then we'll help you lose weight. So I guess to, like, maintain some sort of, like, health.
I guess. Yeah. Cause his big thing was like, I don't want to do anything that would damage you or what. I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah. So.
Honestly, I actually might be into this relationship.
I swear to God, it was intriguing. It was intriguing. Like, it really was.
Do you still have his contact info?
I'll send you a snapshot and let you.
Wait, will you really?
I'm gonna check and see.
Honestly, I would do that. Like, I would gain max.
See what happens.
10 pounds. And then be like, okay, now we have to take off that 10 pounds.
Let's do it, you know?
And I'm sure a doctor would be like, you're killing yourself. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm getting fucked and I get cake.
I mean, it does sound kind of perfect, really, when you think about it. Anyway, but also, okay, just like to the fetishy stuff, I did feel like, I did feel like that. And there was, I didn't want that anymore. Like, there was that kind of feeling of like, I will say at the beginning of sort of breaking the seal, as you said, love that. Breaking the seal of the celibacy. There was that. It was like, I don't care if you're into it, let's do this. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, great. Okay. But then it started to wear on me really quickly. And I was like, oh, this is no, thank you. And then so, you know, fast forward to meeting Filippo. He's interesting. He's, when I said bisexual, he's pansexual technically. Mm-hmm. So it means nothing to him. He really is very much, what is it called? Oh, I think it's called sapiosexual when they're very, it's more about your mind. It just, because I find him very attractive. He's, you know, he's tall, he's slim. And there is that moment I'm like, what's going on right now? But it's just, He has a tendency, he's always sort of liked bigger people. That's always, it's never been, he doesn't find skinny attractive, but he likes all types of bodies. But all I know is that skinny is never appeals to him. So, it's any size. It doesn't really bother him. It's not even bother him. It's just, I know that's what, like, I don't know how to say it. It's like, I know that's not really what he's looking for. This is going to super cringy what I'm going to say right now, but it's like, I've never in my life experienced that. Like, I just know he just loves me. Just loves Deborah. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, it makes me want to cry, but it's also, I've not experienced it before. So it's really not about, and you know, in this, okay. So when I met him in 2020, I was a certain weight. And then, you know, as the pandemic went on. And also, I think when I met him, I did have a bit of a freak out because I was like, I don't know how to be loved. I don't know how to love. How do I do this? So I had a bit of a freak out. So I did, between meeting him and the next time I saw him, I gained weight. And I, you know, I mean, I've been fat for a long time, but, you know, there's the fat that I was, and then you add more on top of it. So I'm still very uncomfortable right now. I don't feel the best I have, you know, and it wasn't even like, I was so scared to see him again. And that, like, you know, I've gotten fatter, and it's not an issue. It's not an issue. Like, it's just not like he's like, would you still love me if I gained weight? And I'm like, of course. And he's like, and I'm like, but I'm already fat and now I'm fatter. And he's like, don't care. And it's just, but he's also very, he's a real ally in the body neutrality movement. He's very big on that. Like, he's very, he stands up for me in a way that I wasn't able to do for myself. I'm going to get emotional. That I wasn't able to do for myself at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, if we are going somewhere, he checks the chairs. If we're going somewhere, just go in and see what the chairs are like in a restaurant, in a coffee shop. And he is the first one to go and say, I'm going to need a different chair. Like he just does. Like he just, he's
That's
just
really
very,
sweet. That's I know. Like very, just, very yeah. kind.
It is.
And yeah. I feel like some people listening will be like, well, just lose weight if you don't want someone doing that. But exactly. It's like, I don't mind.
Yeah.
That's like, that's really kind.
Mm-hmm. That's it is like, kind because it's like, you know what? And the thing is, again, like if I was to lose weight, that would also be fine. It's not mm-hmm. like if I lost weight and I got became much smaller, he'd be like, no, thank you. But he knows right now what I need right now mm-hmm. in this moment. What I need right now is a chair with no arms. That's what I know mm-hmm. right now. Will I need a chair with no arms in 7 months, 2 years? Who knows? But right now, mm-hmm. I need it. See, I think when people are listening, they wanted to lose weight. You are aware that we still have to live, right?
Live. Like yes.
on the way to losing weight, yes. if that is my choice, I still have to live. I'm still going to mm-hmm. go to restaurants and I still have to wear
be
clothes.
Comfortable.
Exactly. Like I don't have to suffer every minute of my life on the way to losing mm-hmm. weight. And I think that's a big thing that people do forget. You still have to yes. live in the body that you're in right now. So he right now goes, I know this is what Deborah needs. And he just makes sure that I have it in a way that is just very kind and very, he's very conscientious. And it's a real gift to say the least. So
I love that. I dated somebody for a little bit who would also check the chair situation for me and would always ask for a booth with a chair on the
yeah,
side.
Yes.
So
yeah,
he
yeah,
would
yeah.
take the chair and I could have the booth so I could spread that fat ass out. and I always thought it was like really, really kind. And it was thoughtful in a way yes. that I didn't think anyone would ever be mm-hmm. thoughtful.
And it is someone standing up for you in maybe an area that made me feel shy. You know, I would, and now I'm much better with it now. Now I mm-hmm. walk into places and go, I'm going to need this chair. And I've let the shame of it go
mm-hmm.
because 2 years ago, I was probably more ashamed of it. And now I'm just like, you know, this is what I need right now. So that's it. I do ask for a seatbelt extender. I do that now because I don't care. I'm not going to hurt myself just to remain what? Quiet, mm-hmm. invisible, you know, easy or whatever it is, you know, I don't care.
Yeah. I think we do spend a lot of time hurting ourselves, trying to protect ourselves where it's like, just ask for what you want, ask yep. for what you need. And it's okay. You're mm-hmm. not the only fat person in the world.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad that you found someone that's like, who loves all of you because yeah. that's literally what I'm searching
I know,
for.
Right? And I think
outside
we all
of my
are.
Current boyfriend that may or may not be real.
But yes. yes.
Yeah, just someone who fully and utterly is like, I don't, your body is just what you're in.
Exactly.
I like you.
Exactly.
I'm attracted to all mm-hmm. of it. If you were smaller, it doesn't matter. If you were fatter, it doesn't
exactly.
matter.
Exactly.
If you turned into a penguin, I'm still here. I'll help you find the cold.
But that, you know, I mean, it really is. And it's really freeing because, you know, that whole thing of like losing your looks or whatever, mm-hmm. when it's not an issue at the beginning, there's nothing to lose, you know? And I remember, we always have to remember too, your partner, think about this. It's like, I know people right now, like I literally have a story right now of friends where she's going through cancer and he left. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so remember.
Yes.
So remember.
That
it's
is
like,
a thing.
Yes.
It's an actual thing. Men leave women when they get sick.
Yeah. And they go, I don't know what to do with it. I can't. And they go because then it's like,
ugh.
She's not going to be able to take care of me. So remember, everybody. It's like, you know, the in sickness and in health thing, like
mm-hmm.
the person that you're with, we're not all guaranteed that our bodies are going to be as is for the mm-hmm. rest of our lives. You know what I mean? People get sick. People lose limbs. Things happen to people. And wouldn't it be awful if your partner was like, yeah, I'm out. I mean, it's just
yeah, for that reason.
You know what I mean?
I'm out.
For these reasons. Yes.
Okay, cool.
This has gotten more dramatic than I wanted it to, but whatever.
No, I think it's interesting because when I speak to like my thin friends about relationships and wanting to be in one, I'm like, I have a like, so it's harder. It's just inherently harder because people yeah. have biases.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to be seen with a fatty. And
People are scared of it. It's because it's the fear of gaining weight themselves. We've been told that gaining weight is literally the most evil and like low brow, low class, like everything about it is bad. So the way people talk about it, it scares people. So yeah, so we're dating is a little extra for the extra folks. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I worry like, on dating apps, I have like very clear pictures that depict me as a fat person, but I'm like, what if they think I'm fatter than the picture? And like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this fucking sucks. And then in my early 20s, I worked in restaurants and stuff. I would meet boys who worked in the restaurant with me who would then like flirt with me and then be like, there was one, he called me Nikki, and he'd be like, Nikki, you would be like perfect if you were just like, he didn't say the words, but he was like, do you work out? He like stopped it. I was like, do you work out? And I was like, I do work out. And he was like, you should keep up with that. And then would check in on me.
Yeah.
And I was like, is he waiting for me to get thin before he like try something?
What a loss. His huge loss. Like just ridiculous loss. That's such a shame. It's such a shame. Yeah. You know, remember, again, I'm quoting all these old things, but do you remember Pulp Fiction? God, that line just came to me that it's Bruce Willis's girlfriend in it. And in it, she's talking about wanting a pot belly. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, it's a shame that what we like to touch and what we like to look at are different. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's like what feels so good to touch, you know, that, oh, I don't like the look of it. And it's true. You know, it really is true. It's like so many men. My test is this: hug a man and you listen to the noise they make when you hug them. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I hug a straight man and there's always a moment where they go, and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
And it's not pain. It's not pain.
Like,
it's that moment of like, oh, it's
that's
soft.
Nice. You know,
I swear to God. One of the things that I remember Filippo telling me that I was like, oh yeah, this is going to work out. We're talking about what are your favorite foods and whatever. He had said to me at the time about pasta. And I said, oh, I don't eat pasta. And the look on his face, he was just like, I'm sorry, what? Like, he was like, today, you haven't had pasta today? And I was like, no. He couldn't. Like, he was almost like, he couldn't understand. He's Italian. He eats pasta.
So funny.
He literally could eat pasta every day. And sometimes we do. And now I eat pasta all the time and I don't give a shit. But I remember him telling me like the foods I liked. He was like, I love soft things. And I was like, we are going to work out
fine.
He was like squishy bread. Like he loves like burrata. He loves soft stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
Love this for you.
Yay. Thank you.
Okay. Real quick. We got to take a break.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet,
Oak on 34th, Ellimus, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. What did you do before comedy? I don't even know this about you.
Not much, to be honest. I was like, I knew I wanted to do it when I was a young, like young, early 20s, like 2021. I was like, when I moved out of my hometown, I moved to Toronto and, you know, started meeting people outside of my twin sister. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's when everyone was like, you're funny. And I was like, Emma. And so can I be funny? Started to percolate, but I ignored it. And I wanted to be a fashion illustrator. I went to art school. Yes, I went to art school.
Okay.
I'm an artiste. So I wanted that for a long time. And then I knew immediately that I didn't. Like I was probably in school for like 6 months and I was like, oh, I made a huge mistake. But actually it was school though. It was college for me that led me to stand up, because in my art course, I remember one of the courses we had to take was oral communication for the artist, mm-hmm. you know, insert jokes here, but it was, yeah, I was like, okay. And it was literally a class where we did speeches. Like the professor gave us a topic and was like, talk about this for 2 minutes. And I remember people like not being able to do it to a level, Nicole, they cried. People, grown-ups in this class. And I was like, what's happening? And I remember going about 2 minutes, like, and he gave me, and I was like, let's do it. And like I remember like never doing stand-up before, 20 years old, crushing it. And people laughing, my teacher coming up to me and going, oh, that was amazing. Okay. And he actually said to me after, he was like, you're in the wrong program. You should be entertaining people. And I had two different professors in my art school say that to me. And it was always like, I only ever passed classes where there was a presentation mm-hmm. where I was like, well, I'm going to be able to talk. And then I did. And I had sort of about at the age of 22, I had these two instructors come to me and say, you should really be performing. Have you ever thought of performing? And I was like, mm. And then I ignored it. And then I quit. I got jobs as receptionists. So I probably started thinking about it at 20 and I didn't get on stage until I was almost 27.
Oh, wow. So, it took a while.
I know. It took me a while. 26, like 26 and a half, but it did. I was scared, but it was it. So I went to art school and I answered the phone for years and that was it. That was it. And
your little notebook that you always have.
Yeah.
Is your set written on it or is it just a prop that you have?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I swear to God, it is, because I've always had a very bad memory. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was a pothead for so long and my memory's so bad. And so I always had that kind of fear of like forgetting what I wanted to talk about. That was more to me than standing on stage with a book. So I was like, okay. And then it just started to become a part, like my favorite. It's always like, oh, this is not my joke, but it's my grocery list, you know, things, mm-hmm. stupid things. And it just became a part of it. And then I just really started to enjoy doing it. And, you know, I only started doing that when I moved to LA. Like that only happened when I moved to LA.
It's so funny because it's the tiniest little book that you never look at and you just kind of shake it around.
It's like I'm conducting with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I swear to God. And it's just a little wee book. It's just, I don't know. It's become my fly swatter of jokes or something. I don't know what it is.
It really makes me laugh so hard.
But it's funny because I only started that in LA. Like that was because when moving from Toronto to LA, there was a freedom that I was like, I'm going to be whoever I want now. So my comedy, I think my comedy really changed. And, you know, I moved in like my year 14 of comedy. So I was already a comic, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like a headlining. And so it changed. Like I'm definitely dirtier. And I'm definitely a little more honest now. So it's what LA does. It's what LA does to you, everybody. Come to LA, get dirty.
God, I love it. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Are you performing in person?
I am. You know, tonight, actually, this is a month ago now. Tonight's my first non-Zoom show.
Ooh, congratulations.
Since like the summer. Yeah.
You weren't doing any of the outdoor shows?
No, I was, but then I got sick. I got COVID and I had a Yeah, I had it. A couple. Did you get it? Did you ever have it?
I've had it twice. I think I've had it three times because I got it at the, I'm one of those who's like, I got it at the end of 2019. And it was bad. It was like, I had this really bad illness.
I know that. I think that a lot of people did have that though. Cause I remember a friend, my Zach Noe Towers was super sick. The end of 2019. We're like, we can say that was COVID. He was so ill. He was so yeah, but that it was like, yes, yeah, so it was like 2021. And then when it started doing live stuff, and then I sort of like, I don't know. I will say the pandemic spooked me more than, oh, sure. I don't want to use that word. That's a terrible word. But it scared me more than I thought it was going to. Do you know? But I will say this, though. In my defense, you know, they really told us that fat people were going to die.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, so all of my friends are like, I don't want to get sick, but like everyone, doctors, everywhere you went was like, and if you're fat, you will die. You will. And I was like, fuck. So like there was really a lot of me going, I don't want to. So I really did. I have to say, like, I did some outdoor stuff, but then like, I remember going to one outdoor show and everyone was hugging me. I was like, stop it. And I kind of got a little scared. So and then I just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm there. I was right there with you. Like 2020 into 2021, I was like, I don't want it because I feel like a doctor will look at me and be like, you can't breathe because your fat is clogging your lungs.
I mean, that's it. Like, I was like, there's not going to be a respirator. And they'd be like, well, it's your own fault. I was like, that's not happening. I'm not letting that happen. So I will say there was a big stretch of like complete isolation. Like it was just me only seeing my friend Zach, and that was it. And I was doing Zoom shows. And so then probably since like the fall, to be honest, oh my God. And so like now it's weird. Cause like, I'm so happy. I've missed it so much. And I'm bored, which is, I hate, you know, I don't get bored often, but like, that was like, okay, this is too bored.
It's time.
So I know. So we're back. So it's nice. And it's my love. You know what I mean? I'm nervous and stuff, but it's like, I'll be thrilled after it's done.
You know? Crush it. I can't wait to see you live again.
Me too. Yeah.
Well, Deborah, we've come to the end.
This is it.
I ask all of my guests this mostly. So Deborah, would you date me?
Oh my gosh. Yes. In a heartbeat.
Yay!
Like date seriously with ulterior motives. You know what I mean? Oh. I'm taking this girl. Yeah, down the aisle. This is happening. I'm going to lock this
down
up.
The aisle. I love that. Okay, Deborah, is there anything you want to promote?
I will. You know what? I'm going to be touring in Canada again, and it's been since the pandemic, truly. So I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. And that is starting at the end of this month. And then I'm joining the Snowden Comedy Tour again in March for Ontario. And again, I haven't performed in Toronto. I'm going to say 6 or 7 years. So I'll be in Toronto on April 1st. And it's just, I'm going to do like a nice stretch through Canada from February until the end of May. So that'll all be up on a website and stuff and Instagram.
And what is your website?
DeborahDG.com.
Okay. Honestly, if you are in Canada, go see Deborah because she makes me laugh truly like no other. And it's like nonstop. You're like going to be tired after watching her.
Yeah. So come out. It's God. Fun.
I'm so excited that you're going back out. Thank you so much for doing this.
This was so fun. I appreciate it so much.
Okay. Well, guess what? If you liked this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you could like it, you could rate it, you could subscribe and give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to hit on me with something filthy, nasty, dirty, you can write those filthy, nasty, dirty words down and send it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. My producer, Mars, the wonderful Mars, goes through it. And I swear to God, if you send her a dick pic, I will probably do nothing because like, how do I track you down via... to be an email, but I'm just asking, please don't. She doesn't want them. Okay. This says, hi, Nicole. You, me, to Howlin' Ray's chicken sandwiches with no, I love Howlin' Ray's with no pickles. Yes, I hate them. Then we go home to digest while watching Sonic 1 and 2. We go out on the town. This is a long date and take home the man of your dreams, AKA a long, girthy, uncircumcised dick. Yum. I take Clyde on a nice walk while you have mind blowing sex. Turns out he's a hopeless romantic and and asked for your hand in marriage on a plane. Wow. Thank you. That's delightful. I love that you want that for me. Okay, bye-bye.
Beep, 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 bop, beep, boop, bop, bop, bop.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.